Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast, where we literally discuss everything and anything in the digital film world, and even some analog stuff. I mean, we may cover Betamax all the way to 4K, Hi8 tapes, VHS tapes, the history of DVD, HD DVD, and Blu-ray format war, TVs, CRTs, floppy disks, 8-track tapes. Who knows? I'm fucking jumping all over the place here. But yeah, that's what you'll get here at the IKP's Digital Film Podcast. You might learn something. You might not. You might laugh till you shit your pants. Who knows? But for the next 45 minutes to an hour, we'll try and give you at least some digital film entertainment. So kick back, relax, and enjoy our sexy digital film podcast. Yeah. Welcome back, guys, to IKP's Digital Film Podcast. I'm Ruben, and flying solo. Hopefully not for too long. I always feel lonely doing these podcasts. So what I wanted to talk about today was a couple different things. And one of the things that happened to me recently, what I generally do, what me and Sherry generally do as practice for our company, is do things that we hate doing because we don't have others to do it. Such as color grading and editing. And so, you know, we have to practice to become good at those things because we're literally just directors at heart. We're directors and photographers at heart. You know, she loves photography and I love directing, and that's what we want to be doing. Everything else is, you know, obviously important to our jobs, but they're definitely better qualified people for these tasks. But until we're able to employ or acquire people that can provide us these services, we have to do them ourselves. And it sucks, dick, so much. You know, like fucking sucking. Anyway. Yeah, it sucks dick so much, man. And not in that good kind of way where, you know, your wife comes home and, you know, surprises you and, you know, it's not that kind of good dick sucking. It's the other one where you're screaming for help and saying no and, you know, don't touch me there. Kind of bad thing. No, it's not that bad. Anyway, but... So, Philip Bloom and a lot of other independent filmmakers out there that do a lot of camera reviews and whatnot and provide actual footage for people to sample and try. Because it's ultimately, especially if you're making a purchase as big as a camera, which can cost up to tens of thousands of dollars, you want a little bit of footage to play with in your own NLE and kind of see what you can and can't do with it and whether, you know, that's the avenue you should be pursuing per se. So, you know, we do a lot of these tests. We've colored a bunch of Blackmagic footage, and we've tested out Red footage and, you know, saw how that graded. And essentially we do this because, you know, not only does it makes us better colorists in terms of knowing software like, sorry, I'm blanking out today, dude. I apologize. DaVinci Resolve. There we go. So, you know, learning programs like DaVinci Resolve and whatnot, it's fun. At times, it can be very tedious, but, you know, when you're color grading, when you're learning stuff like that, you also learn what cameras have the best dynamic range, which cameras give you, essentially, like I said, the most latitude in post. And that's always important because if you buy a camera that can do really well, that you would think it can do very well, and in post you get in there and you can't manipulate the fucking picture with shit, you're essentially kind of stuck with what you have. And that's why I kind of stopped using DSLRs as video cameras, because essentially you had to do a lot of You had to kind of jump through a lot of holes to get it to the point where it could compete with a purposeful camera, cinema, digital film camera, if you will. Not that, you know, DSLR shooters are, I'm shitting on DSLR shooters or DSLRs at all. I if that's what you got, shoot it, man. But that's just my personal taste. I'd rather rent a true digital film camera for whatever I'm shooting than to try and make, you know, a fucking square fit into a circle, more or less, if you get my meaning. So I would find that with DSLRs, you would kind of try and do, in terms of grading, perceived or not dynamic range, which essentially you're fooling your audience into thinking that there's more dynamic range than there is. Now, that can work to your advantage, but also it can hinder you, because with available dynamic range, you could actually get the picture to look kind of like what you were going for in the perceived dynamic range correction. So recently, Philip Bloom, a independent filmmaker, camera reviewer, ENG style kind of guy, he, you know, type him up, look him up, Philip Bloom. He's known in the indie circles. He's a great camera reviewer. He's reviewed the Red, Epic, the Scarlett, the Sony FS100, the Canon C300 is his favorite camera, the 5D Mark II. You know, he's good. You know, he's up there like with Vincent Laferrere and all those DSLR pioneer shooters. So he got his hands on the 1DC. And, you know, we've colored Blackmagic cinema cameras, Red and 1DC 5D Mark IIIs and stuff like that. So the 1DC's party trick is that it does 4K to a complex motion JPEG to a 4K motion JPEGs to a compact flash card. So that's pretty fucking amazing. Of course, you know, you probably only get 10 minutes per flash card, depending if you use like a Luminex, like 120 gig. It starts getting a little expensive. Very power hungry. But anyway, he dropped some footage because he uses the Canon log, the flat picture profile that the C300, C500, C100 use, and to get the most dynamic range out of it. So you have a 4K image, and with a flat picture profile, log, Canon log. And so, you know, he sent out a couple of clips, and we pretty much dropped him into Final Cut Pro 10 and did a basic color grade in Final Cut Pro 10. Because that's what I like to do sometimes. Final Cut Pro 10 has one of the worst color grading softwares on the fucking planet. You know, it's my NLE of choice. But, you know, when it comes to color, it sucks. But I'm the type of person that likes to go through the least amount of processing. So the image, the file itself goes through as little manipulation as possible in terms of shaking hands back and forth. I didn't feel the need to run it through DaVinci Resolve. I wanted to see what I can do with it directly out of Final Cut Pro 10, just a basic grade, and how it would grade, and if I could push and pull the colors. And what I found is it grades very easily in the C-Log mode. And the 4K is, well, it's 4K, it's 4096 by 2160. It's fucking beautiful. So it was good. The dynamic range was maybe a little bit more than a 5D Mark III, but it's about the same. Essentially, the learning curve for shooting with the 1DC, from what I see, is it's not that different from a 5D Mark III or any DSLR, except that, you know, now you have 4K, so you have four times the resolution of HD, so you can punch in, you can do pan scans, or, you know, you just have all this real estate to work with, this resolution and this log image. But the it grades very well, and you don't really have to do too much to it. And I posted some of these, and A lot of my migrating, like I said, especially because we're more directors than, post-production people. So we do it to eye. I'll find myself sometimes looking at waveforms and kind of befuddled sometimes. But most of the stuff we do to eye, and we make sure that we have our screens calibrated to the appropriate color gamut that studios use. So we're pretty much, we do it by eye. We do a lot of things by eye. I do a lot of things by eye. And I know that sounds to certain people very amateurish or familiar. Everybody does things differently. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. This guy that's been following us on Twitter, I believe Vimeo. Well, he kept looking at our tests that we colored, that Philip Bloom shot, but that we colored. And based on those tests, I got to give Philip Bloom credit, but based on Philip Bloom's footage and our color grading, he said he was gonna drop the fucking 11 grand to buy the 1DC. He literally sent me a tweet saying, because of your guys's videos, color grading videos, I'm fucking gonna drop the fucking 11 grand for a camera because of you guys. And I was fucking speechless. I was like, what the fuck? Not only that, but we've been getting a lot of traffic lately, which is good, very good. Thank you guys once again for supporting IKP, the sexiest company around. No, I'm just joking. But no, but thank you very much for supporting us. And this wow and befuddled and the traffic is by no means negative, but very positive. And I didn't think that by doing just some color grading test and whatnot, people would respond that much to it. So I feel validated. I think that because it's not easy to color grade, especially if you're not at heart a colorist, and that's not your forte, and you're kind of doing it, you're kind of eating your lentils because you have to, or spinach or whatever, because it's fucking on the plate, and if you don't finish it, it's never gonna get done. It's that kind of, it's almost a chore as opposed to directing, when I'm directing and lighting and blocking scenes and using the camera. That's like fucking Disneyland for me. But in the post process, I gotta say I'm a little lazy, a little hesitant, and it's more of a chore when it comes to post. But I'm decent at it enough to get by, obviously. But the thing about it is that I learned that a lot of people can get caught up in, you should definitely learn the science of what you're doing, whether it's cinematography, directing, DI colorist, editor, sound designer, grip, what have you, photographer, model, whatever. Whatever you do, you should obviously try and learn at least the ABCs of the technical side of it as much as you can. But eventually, you should, take that information and apply it to how you work or how you choose to work. Put this block here if it fits better here for you, might not fit better there for. And that's, I think, one of the things that some people get trapped in is that I notice, especially in comments to other people's videos and independent films that I see, is that if some people don't follow film law, like the 180 degree rule and other stuff, some people break filmmaking law and end up making very artistic and great short films, music videos, montages, tests, what have you, dialogue scenes. Now, if you implement the things you learned, the basic knowledge that you should, that you're at least aware of the law, And you're aware, okay, well, I'm going to do this purposefully to get this reaction or this. And that's also because art is subjective. So what I learned is that I remember at first when I was learning all this stuff that I started doing a couple of test videos and music videos that, you know, never made it to the net because, you know, one of my other advices is always only show your best work. Anything that's crap, be your harshest critic, toss away or archive. Don't show it to anybody as much as you want to. Always show your best work and, you know, that's what you got to do. You know, pick your best, be your harshest critic, and just put what you think is the best out there. So when I learned, you know, the ABCs of lenses, the ABCs of exposure, the ABCs of coloring, the ABCs of all this other shit that comes along with filmmaking, you start falling into a trap at first. At least I did. Into following these ABCs. Because you're so nervous that people are going to pick apart your project, whatever it may be. And you lose a piece of your artistic self because now you're trying to do it in this fucking straight line. Like, oh, if I fucking don't stay on this line, someone's going to point me out and call me an amateur, and then my rep's going to go down the toilet. Well, you got to get away from that thinking. The idea is if you have the foundation to, you know, you need the foundation to build any structure, otherwise it'll fall apart. So obviously foundation, I'm not telling you skip, you know, learning film school or going to film school or learning everything you can about filming. There's always something to learn, but don't get caught in that trap. Once that foundation is set, you can build the fucking thing any which way you want. So if you want to break the 180 degree rule, or you want to jump cut a lot, or you want to do this or that, so long as you are aware that you're doing it to get a certain reaction from people, as opposed to just fucking doing it and not being aware of it, that comes off more amateurish. If you're good enough to pull these mistakes, quote unquote, I even hate to call them mistakes, but you know, they're kind of more or less frowned upon and not considered professional to break certain film law. But if you do it right, don't get caught up in following that line. You know, some of the best directors have broken all the rules of filmmaking and said, I know what it should be, but I'm going to say, fuck it, and I'm going to do this because this fits way better for me and nobody's ever seen this. And that's where great art, I think, comes from, is from people that are willing to take chances, willing to go off the beaten path, you know, and kind of, you know, find your own style. And that's what I see, is that a lot of people are becoming stagnant, you know, in terms of criticizing people's filmmaking or their films themselves. In terms of, I started thinking about the music video that I was doing. You're always thinking about your projects. Any director will tell you, like, you're never satisfied. You're always fucking like, what can I tweak here? You know, little tweaks here and there and whatnot. So the music video tribute that we're doing is based entirely in a garage, and I had a couple of shots planned that would be have to have the use of a dolly or a slider or a jib or a tripod or a steadicam, what have you, you know, some of these shots. I started thinking to myself, you know, after this compliment about, like, you know, the videos made me buy this fucking camera. You inspired me. Your color grading inspired me to fucking buy this camera. I was like, well, fuck, dude. And, you know, it's like, that's kind of cool because, you know, if someone were asked me, well, how'd you do it? What scopes did you, what IRE were you at and all this other shit? I'd be like, dude, and honestly, kind of threw all that away and kind of, if it, you know, and that's what we're all about essentially. And it's kind of, you know, you can call it amateurish or whatever, but essentially our level for success is what we like and what we think looks cool. You know, aside from that, yeah, we do want to please at the end of the day. You know, we're directors and some of us want to be performers and whatnot in this family. So ultimately, you know, you want to please. But essentially, you know, what looks cool to us is our level for success and the people that follow us, if they think it's awesome and looks great too, then we've then we've hit we've fucking struck gold, you know, we've fucking there it is. So we try not to get caught up in that language where it's like, you know, we have to do it this way because if we don't do it this way, it's wrong. It's like, well, look, dude, I fucking did a lot of color grading tests purely by eye, and a lot of people are responding positively to it. So, you know, of course, math doesn't lie. You know, I will say this, you know, despite I did it to eye. It's always good to have the waveforms, RGB parade, etc. on because eyes can be deceiving. And, you know, so you kind of want to be in the ballpark. So I would say, you know, eyeball it, but, you know, make sure you're at least in that certain color gamut when you master something for distribution. That way, you know, you don't get huge fluctuations in color doesn't, you know. But anyway, but getting back to the point about doing it the way you should do it, the level for success is, should always be what you think looks cool, what you like, what entertains you. Because ultimately, most of the content that you're going to be making is for an audience. But let's be honest, a lot of us filmmakers, especially internet independent filmmakers, whether we're doing a music video tribute, whether we're doing a comedy sketch, short film, it's for us. It's what we want to kind of spit out and what we want to say. And essentially, we want to please ourselves and whoever else likes it. I mean, that's just a fucking plus. So, you know, I started thinking about my music video and I was like, well, you know what? I've been seeing lately. And lately is a loosely term. I would say for the past 2 years, I've been seeing nothing but slow dolly shots, slow sliding shots, slider shots, a lot of slider shots especially have saturated the Vimeo community and the YouTube community, especially the Vimeo. Everybody is doing these slider movements and a couple of dolly movements here and there, and the sense of that giving your production more production value, yes, it can add if you're properly applying that specific move for what you're doing to get the reaction that you want or it fits a scene. But I see a lot of it is done kind of overused. So I started kind of rethinking my, I said, you know, what if I shot this video? Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do it this way, but I might try it just to see, you know, if it fucking, you know, I'm going to jump in the deep end and see if I sink or swim. But what if I did an entire music video with no camera movement? Like, what if it was just based on just cuts and angles? And especially because it's set in a garage, my biggest concern was, well, what I'm gonna have to, like, you know, move the camera here to make it seem more interesting. But what if, you know, I'm thinking, what if I don't use dollies or sliders and I rely solely on, you know, security camera kind of angles and cuts and punch-ins. So, you know, that's kind of thinking out of the box because I don't want to be lumped in. Like, there's you know, here's another guy with a slider shot. Oh, I've seen this kind of movement before. So the idea is you know, think out of the box. You don't always have to do things just because other people are doing them, because then it becomes this you know, stagnant thing where even you're moving the camera when it's sometimes unnecessary can become very counterproductive and hurts your production in the end. You think you're adding production value. And at the end, I think that if you overuse a technique or fancy effects over and over, essentially just kind of becomes this this almost flat, bland, repetitive state of filmmaking, which I'm seeing a lot of, especially in camera tests, where a lot of people are buying sliders and dollies and just trying to copy the other person's, and that's fine and all, but I think camera movement and camera placement should always add to the storytelling experience. Your camera, if your camera is going to be in a certain area, well, let's think, why is it going to be in this area? Why am I going to shoot this angle? And if the answer is because it's helping the story, that's really good. If the answer is also because it fucking looks cool to me, that's also good. But if you don't know the answer, you're just like, well, I'm just going to put the camera here because I have no other place to put it, because I think this is where it should be. I'm going to do a dolly shot. And you get asked, why are you doing the dolly shot? I mean, is there a reason behind it? Like, I don't know. Because I want to add production value. That's not a good reason to do a dolly shot. You know, a dolly shot has to either look cool to you or serve the material itself, or a slider shot or a jib shot. Any camera movement, I think, should, or any cut that you do, or color correction or sound design, should service the image that you're capturing. Otherwise, it's just kind of, you know, shit that's just there to be there, you know, and then you don't stand out. And I'm not saying I'm a professional, you know, I'm far from being professional. I'm still kind of coming at it, to tell you the truth. We're very coming at it from an amateur's point of view, but this is what I've learned so far, that, you know, you should try and think outside the box, and film law should be followed to a certain degree. I think it should be, the way I use it more is a foundation, and because I don't want to be kind of stuck in this narrow area where I can't move my fucking elbows and anything, and grow as an artist. Because you start finding yourself, if you start kind of adhering to all the film law rules, they do make sense, but if you start just doing them because you feel you have to, then you box yourself into that limitation. Some people can grow artistically in those limitations. Like David Fincher loves strict film law, and it works for him. He's my favorite director. But other people like Quentin Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez don't follow film law as closely, and they're great filmmakers too. So I guess that's what it is, and that's what I've learned so far, is that, you know, because I started kind of leaning towards the let me follow the yellow brick road kind of mentality. And then once I started being myself a little bit more and using the foundation that I knew that I had now as a filmmaker, and started getting back to what I used to do as a filmmaker and how I moved the camera and how I shot a picture or lit something with the knowledge I know now, it became much more fun. Breathe new life into something that was almost becoming stagnant for me. Like, I want to do this, but it's already been done kind of thing, but not wanting to go outside that film law because being afraid of being essentially criticized, you know, or called an amateur. But at the end of the day, who's to say that you're an amateur? Who's to say that you're not right? There's always going to be some troll or some asshole that's not going to like your fucking movie. And fuck these people. Make the shit for yourself. And if you like it and you reach one person, then once again, sounds cheesy, but yeah, I mean, the level of success should always be, if you think it's cool and you can justify the cost and the expense of doing it. And at the end of the day, that's your legacy and that's the way you wanted it to be done, then good for you. Now, Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of people that break a lot of rules. And if you're going to break rules, the thing that I'm going to tell you right now is make sure that you're good at it. Because if you just want to break rules to break rules, I know it sounds kind of contradicting, but hopefully I'm making somewhat sense. Break rules if you have the foundation, and because if you just break rules to break rules, to be like, yeah, I fucking jump cut here because I'm a fucking rebel and I fuck film law, I'm gonna cross the line, fucking disorient my audience just for no fucking reason, then you're just being kind of, and you know, nobody's gonna really pay attention to your work. But if you can incorporate film law breaking into following film law, you know, almost like, you know, walking that fine line of like, okay, I'm gonna break it just here a little bit, and then I'm gonna come back here, you know, it's much more professional looking, especially if it looks like it was done on purpose. Now, once again, art is subjective. Something that you may have fucked up could be fucking art to someone else. So you can go a million ways with any of this way of thinking, but I just thought I'd share with you that kind of whole thing. And it kind of just all spawned from this guy, this dude that fucking commented and said, hey, I'm gonna fucking throw down 11 grand because I love the way you color grade this fucking camera. And I was fucking flabbergasted. I was like, fuck, then I must be onto something. Not only that, but all the followers that I've been getting from all these color grading tests and pictures that we've been taking, photos that we've been taking, and kind of just doing it our way, using the basic knowledge of photography and film law, but applying it to our taste. We just recently shot a couple of new portraits, an album called The Faces of IKP for our Facebook page, which is essentially, you know, self-portraits of our little cast and crew of IKP. And, you know, I shot them and I looked at them and I kind of already knew that I kind of wanted them to be black and white, because I've never done anything really in black and white. And it's as much of a challenge, if not more sometimes, to make black and white look interesting. Because there are different things you can do with black and white. You also have to consider what you're wearing. There's orange, red, green, blue filters that affect black and white. Each one of those colors affect black and white. And us as humans see black and white better than any other color. So I shot these portraits and you know, did them in black and white and got a lot of compliments on them. Thank you guys for liking them. And once again, you know, to me they just look better. You know, once they were in color, it was like, wow, that kind of looks a little plasticky. You know, looks like something you would walk into a store and pick up a model magazine, or you know, the. But once you fucking, I took them into black and white, it just breathed this life into it that I thought looked pretty cool and that I've never explored before. So I thought that was pretty cool that people responded just the way I kind of wanted them to respond. Because, you know, essentially I wasn't thinking, well, wow, you know, I was like, I usually like look at something that I make and I'm like, or that we make, and we're like, that fucking looks cool. Let's put it up. See if anybody else thinks it's cool. And that's essentially what we do. We don't sit here and be like, fuck, you know, are people gonna think this and this? No, we first try and satisfy us. And you know, in the business, eventually you're gonna have to satisfy other people and whatnot. No, not that way. You know, well, you might have to, you know, suck a dick or two to move up, or you know, a tit or two to move up in the business. But that's a whole different story altogether. But that's my ramble for the night. I don't know if I made any sense. Hopefully I did. It's late. I'm hungry. Weird sleeping schedule. But this has been IKP. And I just want to make sure I don't have anything else to say before I let you guys go. No, I think that was it. You know, otherwise, I'm just gonna ramble. But hopefully, some of that made sense. If it didn't, at least it gave you an insight into my insanity or a way of working as it is now. You know, I'm still evolving as a filmmaker and a photographer and a cinematographer and an editor and a colorist and a calibrator and all these things that fucking I want to do. And it's an ever-growing. There's always something new to learn, especially because the technology is moving so fast. And soaking it all up like a sponge. There are things I still don't know. There's things that I do know. And what level I'm at, you know, I can't put a fucking a label on what kind of person a filmmaker I am yet, because to tell you the truth, I don't know just yet. So. But I'm content with that. You know, I'm still an amateur, and I will label that. You know, we're coming from an amateur's point of view, and we kind of fly by the seat of our pants, and we use the film knowledge that I have as a foundation, and I kind of go from there, and I shoot from the hip, and you know, whatever looks cool to me, I fucking, you know, obsess about it, 'cause you know, I don't just put anything up there. I just even podcasts. You know, I go over podcasts. I'll do an hour of a podcast and I'll listen to it and I'll be like, you know what, this is horseshit. And I'll fucking find myself that I just wasted an hour talking about, you know. But that's how meticulous we are and I am about the art I decide to put out there or the information I decide to put out there because. At the same time, I'm fucking OCD perfectionist. So anything that I do put up there, I try to make sure that it has the highest production value as possible. That you know that I could afford to do and output. So, but hopefully, so at the end of the day, the message is, you know, your way of filmmaking is not necessarily the wrong way. So don't let someone tell you you're doing it wrong. If your way has worked for you and is working for you, and you find that you get done from production to post-production to delivery, and it works for you, whatever method of editing you use or color grading or filming, if it works for you and you love it, and your core audience loves it, then stick with that. Don't be afraid to learn other things. Maybe there's a way to get from A to B quicker. But don't let anybody tell you like you're fucking doing it the wrong way. You should be doing it this way and be like, why should I be doing it this way? Well, because that's the way it's fucking done. It's like, okay, well, you know, that point could be argued. You know, we can drag in 20 of the top filmmakers. And I'll ask them how their process is, and I guarantee you each one of them will have similarities. But at the end of the day, they have their own fucking manner of working and shooting and editing and talking to actors. They all work differently. So there's no wrong way to do it. There's your way to do it. There is a foundation to how to do things. But once you have that foundation, you can get from A to B however you choose, because now you have that knowledge, you know, like that you didn't have before, probably. And never be afraid to learn new stuff that can get you to A to B faster and more efficiently. So don't always throw away, like, you know, if someone comes up to you say, you know, you're not necessarily doing it wrong, but this is how I do it. It might work for you. And you know, if you like that method of working, then you can adopt that method of working and use it that way. And that's what I usually do. I try not to lock myself into people telling me like, you're fucking doing it the wrong way. It's like, you know, dude, I'm doing it the way it works for me. You may not do it this way, but this is what works for me. My core audience likes it, and I'm pumping out fucking material faster and shinier. But if you can show me something that interests me and that gets me to do something even better, then I'm all ears. But if you're gonna tell me, look, go back and you have to do it from A to B, you can't skip this step or this step because it'll blah 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 this, you know, then that's a whole different conversation. That's more of you know. But that's your opinion or subjectiveness. And once again, you're dealing with art. You know, art is singing, writing, filmmaking, painting, podcasting. You know, all of this is fucking art, and all of it can be subjective. You could either choose to listen to it or choose to watch it or choose to not. And if it makes you happy and your core audience that you know, hey, you know, this is type of film that I'm making, and you know, you and your core audience likes it and you like it, especially if you like it, you know, and you're very happy with it. I mean, that's the best satisfaction. Even if a lot of people shit on it and don't get it, maybe that's even cooler because you're the one fucking person that got this fucking piece of art that you created. So, I don't know. That's my two cents. It's my ramble for today. So this has been IKP's Digital Film Podcast. And come back again. Thanks a lot. Hit that subscribe button on rate us on iTunes. You know, give us a couple stars. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podomatic, Vimeo, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. All our links are everywhere. Just Google Impulse Kitty, one word. Productions, separate word. So Impulse Kitty, one word, space Productions. And we're the only Impulse Kitty Productions out there. And you'll find like my I don't even have a MySpace, but Facebook and Vimeo, YouTube, podcasts, etc. And we'll keep you updated on any new projects we we do. We have a couple more photos coming out, but those will be more, I think, personal photos that we're taking. But hopefully this coming March, we will finally knock out this video, this music video tribute that we've been sitting on for 2 years. So God willing, everything works out, and get some material for you guys to look at. And thanks for stopping by. Take it easy.